Very good. You know, it's amazing how the Lord puts everything together, and the songs and what we've got going on here tonight. And I'm serious. I've sometimes I say this, and I'm not taking any credit for it, because we learned about that this morning. It's all because of His grace, not because we've earned it. But it's just amazing how He does things and makes it sweet, and we should not take that for granted. This is a special place. Anybody need a worksheet? Did not get a worksheet? Just slip your hand up. I got a few down in here. All right, very good. Just keep your hand up until it gets there. We're in Genesis, and we're going to read beginning in chapter 30, verse 1. We're going to go back and cover some verses behind that, but we're going to read chapter 30, verse beginning in verse number 1. We've been walking our way through a walk of faith, a life of faith that we called that forth. Did we run out of papers? You got a few more? By the way, this looks like an old Sunday. It looked like a Sunday morning crowd years ago. And so I really appreciate you growing on Sunday nights and appreciate your faithfulness. I really do. I really do. We started some months ago on a walk with faith in the life of Abraham, because that's what his legacy is. He believed God, and God counted for him for righteousness. And we've been through his life, and we've been through Isaac's life, his son, and now we're in the life of Jacob, which will eventually be Israel. Now, walking in faith doesn't stop with one generation. It goes from generation to generation to generation. Be honest with you. I remember, I don't know whether some of you remember Ben Ray when he was here. One of the things, his parents had been missionaries in mainland China for years and years and years. And he went to college figuring he was going to go back. And it was right. He said, I want to be able to stand on my dad's shoulders and take the next step. And that's the way it should be. And it should build and it should grow. We'll just hope our kids hang on. Hope that maybe we can, listen, this should go from one generation to the next generation. And that's the way it should be. And so Jacob has some things going on. The problem is we all have to start out as sinners. In fact, we die as sinners too, but save sinners, Lord willing. Sinners that trust the Lord and live by Him. But we all have to learn a lot of these lessons our own, by ourselves. And so Jacob is in the midst of some things. And you know the story of Jacob and Mama kind of got, well, he really believed that he wanted to see God's blessing. So actually, one day when his brother Esau, twin brother, was, he was just kind of out of sorts. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you some, he said, well, give me some soup, so I'll give you some if you sell me your birthright. Well, the birthright meant that he was going to get the blessing that's going to be handed down from generation to generation. Now, we don't have that same birthright. We're not the Jews. But we do have the promises of God, and God has some special promises for us. But he's trying to teach us that when God gives a promise, he keeps it. Okay? So he's teaching that. And Jacob, though he didn't go about it the right way, he wanted God's blessing. And listen, without faith it's impossible to please God, but he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, Jacob didn't seek him the right way. But he sought him. He wanted God's blessing. And he got it. And of course, Esau didn't like the fact that his younger twin brother got the blessing. And so he kind of soothes his temper by saying, well, as soon as daddy's gone, I'm going to get that guy. So mama says, you better get out of town or I'll end up losing both of you. So Jacob goes out of town. And he goes up to where his mama's folks were from, and he finds a bride, Rachel, and we saw that the other week. And he liked her. She was a sharp gal. And she had a sister named Leah. And Leah, the Bible, it's kind of like, well, is she pretty? Well, she's got really nice eyes. But, you know, but I mean, she was probably a nice person, but he was kind of like Rachel. Well, he serves her father, Laban, for 7 years to have her hand in marriage. Well, Laban kind of
pulls a quick one on him. And to be honest with you, I think God allows Laban to kind of teach Jacob a lesson of what it's like when you do stuff underhanded. We reap what we sow. So God's going to use it, see what it's like. And so when it came time that the marriage was over and to have a big feast, the consummation of the marriage really was the night, was really where the marriage had the big feast. And so it really didn't talk about a marriage vows or anything. It just says that that night he handed her his daughter, but the fact is he gave him Leah, not Rachel. When they woke up in the morning, there she was. He said, "What in the world are you doing to me?" "Oh, we don't give the young ones away before we give the older ones away. We don't do that here." "Oh, so now you tell me." And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, you serve me another 7 years and I'll give you Rachel too." So they promised to serve another 7 years and he gets Rachel. Now he has two wives. God isn't necessarily endorsing all that. There's a lot of things they did in the Old Testament before the law and all those kind of things that God doesn't necessarily endorse, and we know it's wrong. And by the way, when you get through this story, you're going to realize it's not a smart thing to have two wives. It's just not a smart thing to do. So I don't know where you come from, whether you're from Utah or anything like that, but it's not a smart thing to have two wives. So here we are in chapter 30, and we've got this little competition going on. Now something's going to happen here, and let me read in chapter 30. "When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister Leah, his other wife, and said unto Jacob, 'Give me children or else I die.' And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, 'Am I in God's stead who hath withheld thee from, who has held from thee the fruit of thy womb? Said, I can't make you have children.' And she said, 'Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her.' And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her." Now they should have known better than to do this, because that's what Mama Sarah did with Hagar. And what a mess did that make? You've been here, you know those stories. So if it didn't work, why are we doing this? We should be doing it, but they did. "And Bilhah," verse 5, "conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, 'God hath judged me and hath also heard my voice and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan.' And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, 'With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed.' And she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had left bearing," in other words, Leah hadn't had any babies either for a little while, "she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, 'A troop cometh.' And she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, 'Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed.' And she called his name Asher. And Reuben, the firstborn, went in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, 'Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes.' And she said unto her, 'Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband?'" Can you hear it? "And wouldst thou take also my son's mandrakes?" You know, mandrakes not a big deal. But he's bringing up, he's getting historical here, you know. Not just hysterical, but historical. "And you could take my son's mandrakes also. And Rachel said, 'Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes.' And Jacob come out of the field to the evening. And Leah went out to meet him and said, 'Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. I paid to get you today.' And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, 'God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband.' And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, 'God hath endued me with a great dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons.' And she called his name Zebulun. And afterward she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, 'God hath taken away my reproach.' And she called his name Joseph and said, 'The Lord shall add to me another son.'" There's so much wrong in all this story. It's amazing. Let's sort through some things here. We're going to talk about an unsolicited walk of faith. In other words, Jacob's going to take a walk of faith he never asked for. How many times has the path been laid out in front of you and you're going to have to take a walk of faith that you didn't choose? An unsolicited walk of faith. Well, I want to go where I want to go, but I'm going to choose where I get to go, and that's what I'm going to try to trust. No, sometimes things come into our life that we didn't ask for, and we're going to have to take a walk of faith anyway, down a path we never intended to go. Let's pray. We'll talk about unsolicited walk of faith. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I want to be a blessing to our folks. And probably all of us can relate to this sometime in our life, and probably if not before, we will eventually. So, Lord, I pray that you work in our hearts. Again, we ask for your Holy Spirit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I think it is interesting that most of us somehow think that we can have a walk of faith, but we still expect the Lord to give us heads up if something big is in front of us. We want to walk a faith without any surprises. We want to have the right to plan and schedule and live out our lives on our own time schedule at our own chosen pace and predetermine the intensity of the issues and how much faith it's going to take to go through these issues. That's not the way life works. Sometimes life hands us problems and we genuinely say, I didn't ask for this. I didn't sign up for this. I was minding my own business and God just came along and blindsided me. Sometimes life does throw things at us that wasn't our fault. However, there are times when we have been asking for it and we didn't realize it. We have justified little sins, and then when we reap what we have sown, we cry foul against God. We need to find out what God's righteousness is and not just what we think should be fine with God. We find Jacob away from home here in a place where he feels he should be safe and away from the threat of Esau, his brother. He thinks he's left all his problems at home and moved many miles away. The reality is that we often are our worst problem, and wherever we go, we go with us. Jacob is having to take a walk of faith where he never intended to go. Let me give you number one. Life is what it is. Life is what it is. Now, I understand God's working in our lives and he's molding and he has predestined for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. And he allows things to happen. God tempts no man, nor is tempted of evil. But he does allow us to get in ourselves a mess so he can get our attention. Life is what it is. And to be honest with you, very few people live what we would call a charmed life. I hate to even use that term, but we think about it. Everything goes well. But you know what? Even folks who live the charmed life, there's some time or another it's going to be a difficult problem. And you know what? I've also found folks who think, well, you know, if I had this and I had that and everything, if I had their life, I'd be fine. And you know what? A lot of people say that about folks, and then I've had conversations with those folks and found out their life is not as charmed as you might think. Letter A, we have to accept what life throws at us. Life throws all kinds of things at us. Letter B, life is not always fair. Life is not always fair. Go back to chapter 29, verse 20. I want to read something. I'm going to read a few verses here with you. Genesis 29, verse 20. I kind of talked about it, but let me bring it to your attention. Let me say it the way God says it. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days. For the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, my days are fulfilled, and I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, well, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel. Watch. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Sometimes life throws you a curveball you never saw coming. You don't think you did anything to deserve it. Letter C, Jacob was reaping what he had sown. God knows. And he's constantly trying to make us into his creation, into his the image of him. Jacob was reaping what he had sown. He had been a cheat to Esau. And now the Lord is going to allow Jacob to feel what it's like to be cheated. Jacob didn't like what Laban did to him. Jacob despised Leah. You say despised, it means he thought less of her. She felt like, well, he doesn't love me. He doesn't like me. Well, you know. But wait a minute, this is not easy. But God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jacob felt cheated, and he should have. God allowed something very, very precious to be stolen from him there. Let me give letter D. A life of faith accepts what God allows, ready, and does right anyway. A life of faith. Listen, we don't see what's going on. We may not understand what's going on. We might even feel like we've been cheated. Now, it could be we're reaping what we're sown, what we've sown, and God's trying to teach us some things. But whether that's the case or whether it's not, we sometimes feel cheated. We feel like we've got the short end of the stick. And the fact is, we need to follow God, accept what God allows, and do right anyway. We never can justify doing wrong. Never. Look at verse 31. And when the Lord saw, watch, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, I've talked about this before. We think that, you know, as long as nobody at church or anybody at work or our family knows we're having a hard time, and we're bucking each other and giving each other grief, that everything's okay and it's not going to make any difference. The thing is, God's at the house. God's at the house. God's here. God knows what's going on. God's going to deal with it. We can hide it from everybody else, but God knows. Now listen, we think that, you know, Jacob said, well, I didn't ask for Leah. I didn't ask to have to walk this walk of faith. Here I am. All of a sudden now I'm in the middle of a mess. I got two wives. I didn't want two wives. I wanted Rachel. But now I got two wives, and what am I going to do? Now, we think it's justified. Now, by the way, remember that word hated? It says they saw that Leah was hated. That doesn't mean he was malice, he wanted to get her. It just simply means he loved her less. That's what it means. We've been through all that. Loved her less. God saw, by the way, I'm sorry, the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The self-existing one, the God of all creation, the one that is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, eternal, unchanging God, that God saw. He saw that Leah was loved less. And he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. God saw Jacob's attitude as sin. You know, husbands, the Bible says you're supposed to love your wives as Christ loved the church. And was willing to give his life for her. Now, we're not perfect, and I understand that. But if we're not loving our wives as Christ loves the church, we'll at least be confessing to God and asking for his strength and his power to do what I need to do, what we need to do. Ask for forgiveness when we don't. God saw Jacob's attitude. He saw his sin. He said, well, okay, we're going to get you where it hurts. Now watch. We cannot deny what life gives us as if it never happened. We must deal with it. But watch me. Here it is. We must deal with it in a godly, godly way. We have to deal with it in a godly way. We say, well, I don't like what God has allowed in my life. I'm in the middle of a situation. I never intended to be here. This was not my plan. But here I am. And you know, so, well, you know what? I'm going to do what I'll figure out a way. Not if it's not godly. Let her eat. Watch. Now hang on. This is the other side of the coin. God was still keeping his promise. What was his promise? He's going to make him a great nation. He'll be father of many nations. He'll be father of all these people. Now Rachel, the one he loved, is not having any babies. But in the meantime, he's going to teach him a lesson. They're still having babies. He'll be father of a great nation, but just he's teaching Jacob a lesson. God was still keeping his promise and at the same time teaching Jacob a lesson. Look at verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Isn't that something? I gave him a baby. Now he'll love me. Men, your wife should be a good wife, and that's her job between her and the Lord. But your job was to love her as Christ loved the church. Unconditionally, whether you think she deserves it or not, whether you like her or not, or whether you want her to be your wife or not. He didn't want Leah, but she was his wife. And God expected him to care for her equally. But I didn't ask for that. That's not the point. She said, now he'll love me. Look at verse 33. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. See, she knew. She knew. The Lord's heard that I was hated. He hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. She says, we'll be able to get close now we've had a couple sons. He'll like me better. But you know what? God was making Jacob a great nation because God has already given him the promise. Not because Jacob deserved it. But he wasn't getting his great nation the way he wanted to get it, because he wasn't doing what God wanted him to do. Number two, watch this. Our sin often draws others into sin, into the sin. Our sin often draws others into that sin. Look at chapter 30, verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. I think I'll just die if I don't have any kids. Now watch me. It was not that Jacob couldn't father a child. Look at all the kids he had with Leah. And you know, he's thinking, come on, woman. I love you, but it's not my fault. Everything's working on my side of the deal here. This is not my fault. He said, give me children or else I die. Jacob's at verse 2, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. He said, Am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? He had four children by Leah, and it was Rachel that could not have children. She said, What's my problem? But hang on, watch this. Let her see. Ready? It was Jacob's fault that Rachel had no children. Remember verse 31 of chapter 29? And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. He left her. Children are a heritage of the Lord. He didn't allow Rachel to have any babies. Why? Because Jacob hated Leah. You think about that. Rachel's not having babies because Jacob wasn't right with God. As if she did not have the, in fact, the word barren there means as if she didn't have the anatomical organs to produce a child. It's like her body just wasn't working. It just didn't do it. Jacob did not send Leah away, which was good. He could have done that, but he didn't do that. Rachel had no children because Jacob had refused to love Leah equally. Watch. However, Jacob refused to accept Leah. The Bible says Jacob hated Leah. I get it. Love less. And God says, you're going to be a father of a great nation. It's going to have my name on it. We're going to teach you a few things. It's going to be a hard one. Letter D. Sin has consequences. Even if it's of a sin that we don't even think about. Listen, Jacob's not saying, this is not my fault. He said, God said, yes, it is. God knew what would get Jacob's attention. No children from the one he loved. Now, I'm not saying this is always the reason why we don't have children. I'm not saying that. I wouldn't say it because God does things differently almost with everybody, so we have to learn to live it by faith. He made their eyes, the blind eyes to see by touching them. Sometimes he made mud and put it on their ear and told them, his eyes and told them to go wash. God doesn't do it two times the same way. Why doesn't he? Because we would trust the process, not the Savior. We would go through the process. Well, it worked with him. No. We got to do it because if we knew everything, we could see it by sight, we wouldn't need faith. He wants us to live by faith. So, I'm not saying this is the way it is with everybody, but with him. Now, you know what? Now, the Lord may be speaking to your heart about some things. There may be some things that were hard in our life simply because we wouldn't walk with God early in our life. And it could be something that nobody would ever even think of. I mean, who would have connected that the fact is that he didn't really like Leah very much, would be the reason why Rachel's not having kids. Who would ever thought that? In fact, most of us said, well, I don't blame him. I mean, Leah's, she's a nice gal, I guess, but, I mean, she's not what he asked for. It wasn't within the deal. He shouldn't have to do this. There are times in our lives when God puts us on a path and we wish, we feel like we shouldn't have to do this. But there it is anyway. Life is what it is. Sometimes God throws us a curveball that we were not asking for. So what do we do? Right. You do right. In faith. Sin has consequences. Listen. They had no intention. God knew what would get Jacob's attention. That was no children from one he loved. But that meant that Rachel had to suffer as well as Jacob. Be careful who you marry, by the way, you young folks. Because you become one flesh with that person, and the sins of one will often plague you both. And ladies, don't go say, well, I'll change him. Yeah? Because as soon as he figures out you're trying to change him, he'll put his heels down in there, and you're not. He goes, no, you're not. You know the story about the young gal that was going to get married, and she was all nervous about, you know, she knew she was going to mess up at the wedding ceremony. She knew she was going to get upset. She knew she was going to get upset. And she was going to forget something, going to do something wrong at the wrong time. And the preacher said, okay, all right. You're going to come down to the aisle, to the altar. Now we're going to sing a hymn, and then I'll start giving you the vows, and everything will be fine. So remember, you're going to come down the aisle to the altar. We'll sing a hymn, and I'll take it from there. Okay. Okay. So she's standing out there with her father, ready to come down, and she comes down the aisle. She's saying to herself, aisle, altar, hymn. Aisle, altar, hymn. And there's an awful lot of gals go into marriage thinking, aisle, altar, hymn. Not going to happen. God may change him, but you're getting what you're getting right now. You can't know that for sure. You better love them just the way they are. If nothing changes, and it maybe even gets a little bit worse, because guys are usually on their best behavior when they're dating. Anyway, now, letter E, Laban's deceit. In trying to marry off Leah, put Rachel in a difficult situation, didn't it? But you know what also put Leah in a difficult situation? Leah was just obeying her father. And by the way, parents need to be careful pushing their children into certain situations. Lord says, marry in the Lord. And by the way, just because somebody's saved and they're going to heaven, so was the thief on the cross. That still doesn't make them a good potential mate until we see. Watch them. Let them be proven and found blameless. Find somebody who's going the same direction, is growing in the Lord, has a desire to grow in the Lord. Don't have to be somebody you're going to have to drag along. Now, I know that all of us have made some decisions maybe weren't the best, and so we are where we are. But if you can fix that before you get married and say, I do, please do. Please do. Letter F. Leah lived, watch, in a loveless marriage, trying to win her husband's love. Laban, her father, put her in this situation. She's living in a loveless marriage. I'm not sure what he was thinking. What did he think? What he would say if he woke up the next morning with the wrong woman? What did he think Jacob was going to say? My soul. Now let me walk through this with you. Watch. I go back to verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. The word Reuben means basically, see y'all, it's a son. I got a son. Y'all see this? I got a son. Got a son. Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Slam dunk. Got a son. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore, watch, my husband will love me. I'm going to be able to earn my husband's love. I know I can. He wants to have kids. And Lord, so I know he's got his sights on getting this. He's got to get a nation here. And we got to start with some kids. And I'm going to give him his first son. I think he'll love me. Verse 33. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, which means God heard me. Even if my husband won't love me, God heard me. Kind of consoling herself. Verse 34, she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me. In other words, my husband will finally be attached to me emotionally. We'll finally be, you know, we'll have that tight relationship we've always wanted. By the way, husbands, your wife wants a relationship with you. Because I have borne him three sons, therefore was his name called Levi. It means attached and intertwined. She wants a close connection. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. Husbands should not put their wives in such a position where the woman feels she is constantly having to earn her husband's love like she's a servant or a pet. But ladies, you need to make sure you marry the person that would do so, that fears the Lord. But husbands, sometimes for some reason we're too proud to say, I love you. Now, ladies, if your husband says, I love you, don't say, really? You've got to make it safe for him to be vulnerable if you want him to be vulnerable. If he comes home and actually does something nice, don't say, well, what did you do this time? And the same thing goes the other direction. She cooks your first meal and says, okay, how bad's the dent on the car? Okay. Thank him. Be grateful. Don't assume there's ulterior motives. Just love them. Do right. Well, I was just kidding. Uh-uh. Now, you know what you do? You got it off your chest and then you laugh it off, but and everybody knows it was still there. You thought it. Don't do that. I never make my wife the brunt of the joke. I may allow us to laugh at each other in combination, you know, but I'm not going to make her the brunt of the joke. I don't need to tease her like my buddy. She's not my buddy. She's my best friend and my wife and my lover, and she's the one that I need to take care for. Number three, sin always complicates things. Sin always complicates things. Verse 3 of chapter 30, and she, Rachel, said, behold, my maid Bilhah, who means timid, easily terrified. Well, she's not such a hot little thing here, but so we'll give her Bilhah. I think he'll go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees that I may also have children by her. Now, you know how silly that sounds? Now, they had a culture that did that, but you know what in her heart? She didn't really believe it either. Ask Sarah. Go in under Hagar, and as soon as she found out that Hagar was pregnant, and Hagar found out she was pregnant, na-na-na-na-na-na. I'm not pregnant, but you look like that. My guess is she kind of advertised. When the ladies were around, they were probably moms, but when the lady was just the ladies, my guess is she advertised a little. Oh, I think I need to sit down. You know, she was only 4 months pregnant, but she had to get out of the chair like this, you know. Because she felt despised in her eyes. I don't care whether it was normal culture or not. It was sin. And sin always complicates things. Verse 4, she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me and hath also heard my voice and hath given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. Rachel was trying to console herself and talk herself into thinking that God did this for her. How do I do? It's almost as if Rachel is trying to figure out what she must have done for God to keep her from having children. He judged me. He judged Jacob. Jacob said it was not his fault. Watch this, let it be. Rachel feels less of a woman because of Jacob's sin. Sin of taking Leah as his wife. No, that was thrown at him. It wasn't his choice. He never intended that to happen. But there it is. But I hate to use this term, but the cards that God dealt him, I know it's a terrible word to say the way he's saying that, but God, he has a hand here he's going to have to deal with. And he didn't deal with it in a godly fashion. Verse 7, Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. It means my wrestling. In other words, I win. It was all about her relationship with her sister. I win. No, you lost again. Now Jacob has even a closer relationship with this woman that's not his wife. Let her see. The competition for Jacob's love heats up. The competition for Jacob's love heats up. When Leah, verse 9, when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah. Zilpah means a trickle of perfume. That's what Zilpah means, her maid, and gave her Jacob the wife. What? He gave her... Jacob, the wife, and Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh. In other words, I'm going to be responsible for a whole army for Jacob. I've already had four kids of my own. Now Zilpah's having one. Man, I'm in the lead. I'm way ahead. And she called his name Gad, which means invading crowd, invading army. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. Happily moving on. Boy, we're making ground now. We're making good time. It's really what she said. Boy, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. I'm going to be back on top. And Leah feels she is still ahead of Rachel. Now, wait a minute. Just on the side here. Laban thought he was doing Leah a favor, but was actually putting her into a very difficult and a very strained situation. Got to be careful. Number 4. Here we go. Ready? The struggles of a dysfunctional family. The struggles of a dysfunctional family. Now, folks, again, I'm trying to bring this down to where we live here. Sometimes we are in a path we never intended to be. So what do you do? Well, don't go back and do more wrong. It's never right to do wrong, even for the chance of doing what we think is right. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right till the stars fall. Do right, do right, do right, do right, do right. Letter A. Now watch me. Blended families need an abnormal amount of God's love and grace. A blended family needs an abnormal amount of God's love and grace. If God's got love and grace, we'll be okay. Well, don't go into a dysfunctional situation if you don't have to. But if you found yourself there, seek His love and His grace. Look at verse 14. This is interesting. And Reuben, that's Leah's firstborn, went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes. Now, there's a big discussion of what these mandrakes are. For some reason, I thought they were some kind of funny-looking bird. But that's not what they are. There's some kind of fruit or vegetable or something, but they were considered an aphrodisiac. They were kind of considered to be something that enhances the fertility. So Reuben is getting on board with Mama, Leah, and he finds these mandrakes and goes out and he brings them back to her. So, boy, we're ahead. We got a secret potion. We're going to stay ahead. We're going to get this thing won. So he found them in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Hey, Reuben, give me, please, give me," she says to her, or to Leah, "give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." And she says, "Not on your life." She said, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband?" Now, Leah was never supposed to be his wife, but she was his wife first. Boy, does this sound like stuff that the families get into? You got this and that and his and hers and ours and what? "Isn't it enough that you've taken my husband, and wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore, all right, he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." In other words, you get him tonight if you pay me by giving me the mandrakes. And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." In other words, I'm going to let you sleep with my husband tonight, but I want the mandrakes as payment. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee." In other words, I've bought you, and you're mine tonight. And I bought you with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night, and God hearkened unto Leah. And she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. Leah said, "God hath given me my hire, because I've given my maiden to my husband." And she called, now by the way, that wasn't true. God's not blessing sin, but that's what she thought. "Because I've given my maiden to my husband," and she called his name Issachar, which means he will bring a reward. God is paying me back for giving my handmaid to Jacob. I don't believe that's true, but that's the way she looked at it. The Lord is not rewarding sin. Leah just thinks he is, because see, what is happening? God is fulfilling his promise. It's time for him to have some more babies. We're going to get this thing done. And God is fulfilling his promise, but he's not blessing sin. Verse 19, "And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry." In other words, I have certainly paid for him to be my husband by now. "Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name Zebulon, habitation. Now Jacob will live with me and not Rachel. Many children do not make a home. It makes a lot of mess and a lot of noise. But just because you have a lot of children doesn't mean you're going to have a home. It says, "And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah," which means justice. After all these boys I have to raise, I finally get a girl. I'm getting justice. I think she sees Dinah as justice, because I've been able to give him all these boys. I have gotten justice for what I've endured all these years. Now think about all the kids he had, and you have a boy about every year or a year and a half or something. It's been a long time. Verse 19, I'm sorry, number 5. Now watch me. God did not hear Jacob's prayer. You ready for this? But I think he heard Rachel's prayer. Remember, Rachel is suffering because of what Jacob did. Look at verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph. That means let him add. In other words, we have one son. Let's do it again, God. I got one. Let's do it again. Let's do another. He's going to give me another one. I know he is. Jacob could say, I don't want Leah as my wife. And that would be true. But she is his wife nonetheless. And thus, this principle applies. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You want to have a close walk with God, you better have a sweet walk with that wife. That's the truth. As long as you're at odds with that one that you're married to, ladies, men, your walk with God is not going to be what it's supposed to be. You're not going to be able to just pray for things and know that God's going to give it to you. Why? Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And again, we think, well, no one knows about the iniquity because it only happens at the house. God knows. And he's the only one that matters. Why is it not working the way I want it to work? Well, what's it like at home? Whether you like your wife or whether you don't, she's your wife. When we were in Malachi on Sunday morning there, it says, the wife of your youth, do not deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. If you do, you're pushing yourself out from under the spot where the blessings come out. Unless you've got an unconditional promise, which Jacob had. Your unconditional promise is you've got a promised land that you get to go to when you die. But I'm not planning on going to the next load, and so I want to make sure that I'm having a good time while I'm here. Summary. Sometimes life deals us a hand that we never saw coming, and we don't think we deserve, and it seems unfair. We need to continue to do right if we expect to be blessed by God. Watch. More sin, such as hating your wife, is not going to help our case any. You want God to do something? Well, hating your wife is not going to help it because that's a sin. The furnace for gold, the finding pot for silver, but God tries the heart. He puts the pressure on you, and he's trying to show you what we are. Listen, Jacob may not have been mean to Leah. He might never have said anything bad or cross with her. But God knew his heart wasn't right. True faith leaves life in the hands of God, whether we got there on our own and we're someplace we want to be or whether we're not. 1 Peter 2:19, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when we be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow the steps, his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You find yourself in a position you never asked for, and all of a sudden, you're taking a walk of faith that you didn't solicit. It's unsolicited. I didn't ask for this. What do? You do right. To not do right is going to make it worse and complicate it even further. The only way any of it's going to be resolved is if you do right. And God knows whether you are or not. an unsolicited walk of faith. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for talking to us and giving us your truths. And Lord, we need you. And chances are all of us, and maybe many are in this room right now, are in a position or having to take a walk of faith, and we never intended for it to be like this. But this is where we find ourselves. Lord, help us to just trust you and do right. Heads are bowed and her eyes are closed to stand to her feet. The piano's going to play.